Usually on Sunday mornings after our first reading, we'll have an epistle, a letter reading, or a gospel reading, or a psalm perhaps. But this Sunday, as we talk about Sabbath, I thought it would be good to read a book that I read recently that I should have read like 20 or 30 years ago. It's one of those books that's just really important. If some of you were here a few weeks ago when Roger Gillen preached, he might have mentioned Abraham Joshua Heschel. There was a picture on the front of the bulletin with Heschel marching with Martin Luther King Jr. So anyway, here we read again the book The Sabbath, written by Abraham Joshua Heschel back in 1954, I think. And the whole book is about the topic of the Sabbath, which is our sermon topic for this morning. And I thought I would read just a short excerpt here of something that he says as a way of introducing the topic. He writes this: "He who wants to enter the holiness of the day must first lay down the profanity of clattering commerce, of being yoked to toil. He must go away from the screech of dissonant days, from the nervousness and fury of acquisitiveness, and the betrayal and embezzling his own life. He must say farewell to manual work and learn to understand that the world has already been created and will survive without the help of us. 6 days a week we wrestle with the world, bringing profit from the earth. On the Sabbath, we especially care for the seed of eternity planted in the soul." Let's be together in prayer. God, we come before you on this Lord's Day, on this Sunday, thinking about Sabbath. Thank you for the gift of Genesis, which teaches us your pattern of work and rest. Thank you for the words of Heschel, who has important things to say to us. Help us this morning to deepen our understanding of Sabbath and model our lives after your pattern. Amen. There was so much going on in my life. I mean, there was too much going on in my life. You know, we owned a house, right? And there was gutters to clean, and there was gardens to weed, and the dishwasher needed to be repaired. You know, I was the new father of a young child, and he was coming down with a cold. My wife worked at a demanding job in Boston, and she commuted 3 hours a day. I was in graduate school, and there were papers to write, and finals were coming up just around the corner. I was a brother and a brother-in-law, and a son and a son-in-law, and I was a colleague and a co-worker and a neighbor and a friend. And it was too much. And my life felt like it was unraveling. Our family felt like it was unraveling. And I was tired. And my brother and sister-in-law were coming to us from New York City for the weekend, and it was Friday afternoon, and they were racing to get to us because they are Jewish, and it was the Sabbath, and they needed to be there before sundown. And so they got there, I don't know, a half hour before sundown, and soon after they put their bags down, we were sitting around the table, and there was a candle lit, and there was food, and we were eating and talking and laughing, and the pattern of my life had changed like that. Really, really nice. It was more than nice, it was life-giving. And the next day we woke up, and all day Saturday we sat around and we talked and we enjoyed one another's company, and we didn't work very much. It was really nice. And they left on Sunday, and my wife and I looked at each other and we said, "That's good. We need to do that again. We need to do that again. That was really good." And we did. Started repeating that pattern, and on Fridays after work, she would come home and we'd have dinner and turn off the screens and light a candle and separate that time from the rest of our week and enjoy one another's company. And it was good. And our life, which had seemed to be unraveling, our family, which had seemed to be unraveling, well, it was vital. Well, it was a gift to learn from my Jewish brother and sister-in-law, and it was unexpected. Now, Sabbath is Well, it's an ancient practice of observing the seventh day, patterned after the Genesis account, which we just read. See, God created for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God rested. We see this in the Exodus chapter 20, which is the Ten Commandments. And in verse 8, I believe it says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." The idea is that God worked and rested and made the Sabbath holy, and so we're to work and to rest and keep the Sabbath holy. As God does, so do we do. That's sort of the idea. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew sabbat, which means to rest, but interestingly, it's not just a resting, it's an active decision not to work. So we're resting actively, if that makes any sense, but that's what it is. It's an active choice not to work, to rest in an intentional way, to stop doing some things so that we might do some other things. Interestingly, Heschel notes that God created for 6 days, and each day God said that it was good. The things of substance and space. There was the sky and the earth, right, and the waters, and there were the fish and the animals and the plants and the trees and the human beings and all of those things that take up physical space. Those were good. But see, the seventh day wasn't good. The seventh day was holy, which comes from the Greek word hagios, which means to separate or to keep apart. So Heschel observes that God made those things of space good, but the things of time holy. And he calls the Sabbath the cathedral of time, as opposed to the cathedral of space that we build. The picture on the front cover of your bulletin is an artistic depiction of a cathedral in time. Why that's there. This distinction Heschel talks about like this, between space and time. What is the Sabbath, he asks? Spirit in the form of time. With our bodies, we belong to space. Our spirit, our soul, soar to eternity, to aspire to the holy. The Sabbath is an ascent to the summit. It gives us the opportunity to sanctify time, to raise the good to the level of the holy. To raise the good to the level of the set apart and the special. To behold the holy by abstaining from profanity. And by profanity, he means things of space. Sabbath. Heschel also calls, well, he says that on the Sabbath we turn from the world of creation into the creation of the world. It's a nice move. We turn from the world of creation to the creation of the world. And on Sabbath we are remade, recreated, that we might recreate the world around us. It is life-giving, as my story I began with demonstrated. Sabbath. Now, Sabbath, well, it seems really Jewish, right, to observe Sabbath, and we Christians were sort of uncomfortable with this. What do we do with Sabbath? We know there's Sabbath observance, we know that there's these laws and prohibitions and things you're supposed to do and things you're not supposed to do, but what about us? What are we supposed to do with Sabbath? And I think part of the ambivalence that we feel about Sabbath is because the New Testament seems ambivalent about Sabbath. There's mixed messages in there. Jesus observed Sabbath. We know that he observed Sabbath. He does it time and time again. And yet in Luke this year, we read 4 times how Jesus violates Sabbath law and custom. He feeds on the Sabbath and heals on the Sabbath. He calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And he seems to say that Sabbath is good, but it's better to care for people. It's good to do good on the Sabbath, whether or not we violate the law. So you've got this sort of Jewish understanding of Sabbath observance and how important that is, and Jesus seems to come in and just sort of shoot holes in it in some ways. And we don't know what to do with that. But in Hebrews chapter 4, we have a whole sort of long argument where the author of Hebrews says, no, Sabbath is still important. It's still part of who we are and something that we should observe. So even in the New Testament, we get sort of a mixed message about Sabbath. So what do we do? Do we observe Sabbath? Have Christians done that over time? Well, we certainly have. The Puritans in New England had blue laws, right? And the blue laws were certain prohibitions about things that could or couldn't be done, things that couldn't be sold or bought on Sundays, the Lord's Day. So Sabbath moves from Friday night and Saturday into Sunday. And that's the Lord's Day. And the Puritans sort of had this strict orthodoxy about observing the Sabbath. You can do this, you can't do this, you can buy this, you can't do that. The Seventh-day Adventists, a Christian tradition, are defined by their observance of Sabbath on Saturday, not on Sunday. So Christians have been wrestling with this for a long time and finding ways to live out a Sabbath pattern of work and rest. But you know, as well as I do, long gone are the blue laws. Sunday for me is the busiest day of the work, and I wrap up things from last week and I plan for the coming week, and I go to church, and there are sports practices and games, and there is yard work, and there are things to do on Sunday that there didn't used to be. And so as Christians living in Vermont in the 21st century, our sense of Sabbath is kind of lost. You know, where do we have that Sabbath? Where do we find ways to restore ourselves and turn the world of creation into the creation of the world? And when we don't get it, our lives unravel, I think. We see it all the time. So, I think my point this morning is to raise your awareness of the need for Sabbath and say, ah, I want that. So the first step in sort of observing Sabbath and finding Sabbath is saying, yeah, that's something I want. That's something valuable to me. The problem is that how do we go about doing it? Do we have a whole day every week that we can set aside to not worry? How is it going to look in my life if I say I want some Sabbath time, an intentional Sabbath time? If I want to revitalize my life and my family in that way, how do I get it? It's not an easy answer. And I thought long and hard this week, and I don't have a nice sewn-up package for you, but I do have some things that I think are worth considering and may just help you in your reflections on Sabbath. First one, probably the most important, is to say, I want Sabbath, I need Sabbath. How do I get it? First step, see it as valuable. The second step is to find those places in your life where you already have some time set aside. So you're not creating something new. You're taking time that you already have. Maybe you take a walk with your partner on Sunday mornings. Maybe you meet with a group of friends for coffee on Tuesday afternoons. Maybe Wednesday evenings are family sort of game night, or time when you spend with your family every week. Maybe you've got those moments in your life that already sort of fall into this rhythm. So maybe a good thing to do, an easy step to take, is to keep that pattern, but to set it apart, to make it holy through ritual. Simple. Light a candle on Sunday mornings before going out for a walk with your partner. And say a prayer together, and maybe read Genesis 2, which talks about Sabbath, reminding you in a 30-second period of time what this is all about. If you light the candle, go out for a walk, or turn the candle on before you go. It's a safety issue. Maybe on Tuesdays when you meet for coffee with friends, maybe that's when you light your candle. And that becomes a time marker for you. Get a long, big candle. So it'll take a while to burn down, and you give yourself permission to spend time doing nothing else but being in one another's company. You already do that, so set it aside in a ritual way. Maybe on Wednesdays with your family, when you have some game night or other time you spend together, take a cloth and cover up the computer screen, or maybe the television screen, as sort of a reminder that we're not going to do that. We're going to spend time in relationship with one another, conversing with one another, and not with technology. It's a simple thing to do to say this time is different than that time. And you're not creating new time, you're just setting it aside in an intentional way. Say, this is my Sabbath. Another thing to think about, and I like this one a lot, is that the Jews have long seen worry as work. So one of the things that you're supposed to give up and not do on the Sabbath is worry, right? My mom and I do this. If we're worrying about one of our family members, say, I'll worry about them this week, you worry about them next week. So that way the worry's covered, but I don't have to do it. There's a great story that actually tells about a man who was walking in his field on the Sabbath, and there was this broken fence, and so he walked by it, and he said, oh, because my fence is broken, I won't fix it now, it's the Sabbath. But he found himself worrying about it and making plans to fix it on the Sabbath. So he was worrying on the Sabbath about this fence. And so when the Sabbath was over, he was gathering his tools and going out to fix it. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to fix it. Ever. I'm going to leave it broken as a reminder to me not to worry on the Sabbath. So every day when he walks around on the Sabbath around his yard and he sees that broken fence, he's like, don't have to worry. I'm giving up worry. At least for the next hour or two or five or whatever time it is that you have for Sabbath. How nice is it to have permission not to worry? It's good. Another thing that I think it's helpful to see about Sabbath is that Sabbath is a way of saying no to some things that you may want to say no to already. It's hard to say no, right? Sometimes it's a lot easier to say yes, even if you don't want to do something, because you don't know how to say no, or you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or you're just not sure what to do. So you say yes. But by having a Sabbath time, you can say, no, I can't do that on Sunday mornings because I have a walk with my partner. I can't do that on Tuesday afternoons because I have coffee with my friends. I can't go to that meeting on Wednesday nights because that's when I spend time with my family. Let's meet on Thursday instead. So Sabbath becomes a healthy and positive and powerful way of saying no. And Deirdre and I have learned this, that having a child, a 9-month-old, gets us out of all sorts of things. You know, I don't want to do that, can't do that, you know, the baby, got to be home for the baby. No, we can't do that, I've got to spend time with the baby. So it is a way, like a young child, of saying, no, I really can't do that, I have to go and do something else. And in doing that, you make an intentional choice of what to add into your life, and what to give away. Well, lastly, I just want to offer this to us, that when we observe Sabbath and we get into sort of a pattern of work and rest, it helps if we share that with people that we know and we love and spend time with, so that they know what our rhythm is and that they can share that with us, and also they can help to hold us accountable. Come on, let's just talk on Sunday. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's right. That's when you go for a walk with your partner. No, no, I can talk to you on Sunday. No, no, no. That's your time. You keep it like that. We'll talk again on Sunday afternoon. So it's a way of being honest and clear with people about your pattern and why you're doing things the way that you're doing them. And just maybe people will say, hey, I like that pattern. I like that rhythm. I like that way. Maybe I can do that in my own life. You know, because we have our so much, we have our too much lives, and often they feel like they're unraveled. So maybe simple way to help us to reclaim and to revitalize and to move from the world of creation into the creation of the world is to say, I want Sabbath. I need Sabbath. I was made by God for Sabbath. And then, to think about telling your friends and family that's what you do. About seeing it as a relief from worry and as a way to say no to things that aren't feeding you. And to use some rituals to help you set that time aside in an intentional way. So my hope for us is that we thought a little bit more this morning about Sabbath and some practical ways of incorporating that in our lives. And I'll end by helping us make the connection that Sabbath isn't just about our own health and our own vitality and our own families. It is about that. But it's also about the health of our community, about this community. When we have Sabbath as individuals and Our church has a Sabbath time. We work from a place of strength, a place of vitality, a place and a rhythm that lends itself to doing amazing things in Christ's name and for the life of the world. So Sabbath isn't just a time away. It's not just a day off. It is an active decision not to work, because God knows what I hope we learn, that that's the best way to be a human being and a disciple of Jesus Christ. May we all find